الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم سلمنا لرمضان وسلمه لنا وسلمه اللهم سلمنا لرمضان وسلم رمضان لنا وسلمه لنا متقبلا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. We spend our month of Ramadan, and now almost everyone's worry is, and many people express it also, that we must be able to carry on and for the rest of the year. Once the moon is sighted for Eid, then already at night everyone's mood starts changing. So we will try and discuss a few points how we can maintain what we have acquired in the month of Ramadan. And undoubtedly everyone, those who are just in their homes and going about their normal chores, but they observed Ramadan also, Allah had blessed them also with great wealth in this Ramadan. Then those people who are more conscious, some people who went out in Jamaat, others went for Umrah, others came for i'tikaf, different places, others sat in their own masjids for i'tikaf. Everyone, by the barakat of Ramadan, a mu'min is not deprived. And Allah Ta'ala has given great, great treasures in this month. But of course, the important thing is to carry it forward. And not only to after Ramadan, but to the next Ramadan. And that we should be improving all the time. So in our context here, where mostly our object is that our islah be made here, that is why we have come here, so that we acquire taqwa, that pot of gold that we were talking at the beginning of taqwa, that we acquire that. And inshallah, Allah has not deprived anyone. But now it is to look after it. Just like we read now in the hadith, to become a hafiz is not that difficult. Well, then when you forget it and you have to learn it again. And also to become a hafiz is not that difficult, then the looking after of it your whole life. For boys it is comparatively easy, but girls also some become hafiz, and for them to look after their hifz is even more difficult, because they get their monthlies every month. They can't read during those days, and we all know that the minute there is a little hitch with our ma'mulats to come back on track again, it needs quite an effort. And they, every month they have to go through this for them to come back again, because during those days perhaps you sleep a bit more, because there isn't no namaz also to be made. Many other, you take it easy because Allah has made it easy for you. Now to come back on track again is not easy. The same way if a person after an illness, and he couldn't manage all his ma'mulats, etc., for him to come back again, it takes time. That also, if he has that determination, then also it doesn't come in one shot, it takes some time. Person goes on safar, everything is thrown out of hand. And to get it back again takes some time. So for the ladies, if girls, it's even more hard. Then we don't know where they get married, what kind of a husband. Perhaps he's not supportive at all of her hips. And now she has a big problem because he's demanding all other things. He's not allowing her time for her hips, etc. Very soon she starts getting children. Then the duties of the children again. So it is very hard. So therefore, what I usually advise for girls who want to become hafiz is that they don't force them, don't encourage them also. If it is meant for them, they will become. And at home, the family, she discourages girls from becoming hafiz. Because the guna of forgetting it is more greater than becoming a hafiz. And to become a hafiz is not that difficult as to maintain it. Even for a man, and we know from my experience, and that is why here in the madrasa, where our first period is Quran Sharif, door of Quran Sharif. Because from my experience, good hafiz who we studied together, but over the 5, 7 years, 8 years of becoming an alim, they're in the darulum, but they don't touch the Quran. During holidays, especially now it's different, but those days we should study overseas. In India, we don't come home, A holiday, you take it as a holiday. And then also they don't do their Quran, is it? Very little. So many good Hafiz, though they became alims, but they forgot their Quran Sharif. So this is very important that we maintain. Anything that to make money is not that difficult than looking after the money. And looking after it, not only from crooks, but the crook from inside. Our nafs also, that makes us spend our money in the wrong way. That is also a big crook. We worried of the outside crooks, but there is a big crook sitting inside us. That we made lot of money, but now that crook made us proud with that money. That crook made us use it in haram things. Made us use it in making zulam upon people, etc. So the making of money is not that hard as the looking after of the money. And looking after oneself, that pride doesn't come into a person. He doesn't slip and go in the wrong direction, etc. And a person with money can go much more in the wrong direction. So now what we have acquired here is much more greater than becoming a hafiz also. The taqwa, islah of a person. When I was teaching in Germiston, I had Hafiz students, and Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali once was visiting us. He came, it was at the back portion of the masjid upstairs. He tested the students, everything. Then we all walked down, and I was walking on the right side, left side of Hadrat, and I made this request that, oh Hadrat, make dua that Allah make these boys Hafiz. He put his left hand on my right shoulder, turned me towards him, he turned towards me. In other words, he took my full attention so that I give importance to what he was going to say. And with measured words, very slowly measured words, he said, Mauli sahab, Hafiz banna faraz nahi hai, nek banna faraz hai. That to become a Hafiz is not faraz. To become pious, obedient of Allah's commands, righteous, this is faraz. So usually we pay attention to only that aspect, to become a Maulana, to become a Hafiz, to become a Qari, a Mufti. But the thing which is for us, that we don't pay attention. So here we have gathered, and our object is for all of us that we become nek, that we become obedient of Allah Ta'ala. In that sense, this is more superior than even becoming a Hafiz. And now we acquired this. Now we must not go and lose it. Now Allah Ta'ala, we spend our Ramzan with rozas, with taraweeh, we tried our best with looking after our eyes, our tongues, etc. Especially people who are not in i'tikaf, they have to look after their eyes, how difficult it is outside. And then when those who are in i'tikaf also, the tongue, to look after it. And then in i'tikaf also, not to go onto any porn site on the phone. Today a person so easy, he can even do it just on a phone. Or even more easier, without a phone also, just in your heart, you open up your internet and you go on to worse porn sites than what you can find on the internet also. So a person who looked after all this, and Allah granted this, Allah granted us to keep our rozas, that is no small thing also. And then Allah Ta'ala, hopefully everyone has made a khatam. So now all this that we have acquired, now it must carry on. So for that, in our context here, that the brothers who have come, and there are those brothers who are not murid, and there are others who are murid, and there are others who have got khilafat, who have got ijazat. So a few directives in that way. Firstly, for those who are murids, the ma'amulat that are given, and they will be given out. You got them, Mufti sir? They are here. The ma'amulats for the... We haven't got enough yet. Gee, we have. Gee, we will be giving them out, so to carry on with that. And of course, the how the effort was in Ramzan, out of Ramzan it won't be so intense. That's quite clear. And a person can't expect to carry on all the ma'amulat of Ramzan, the whole out of Ramzan. In fact, Allah makes it so clear that the first day, what was for us for 29-30 days, that is haram now. That now no roza. So don't expect Ramzan to be on each day also. The major distinguishing factor of Ramzan is roza. So Allah made the first day no roza. Haram to keep roza. So you don't keep. So don't have in your mind that what was in Ramzan is going to, from the day one. It's not. Now that doesn't mean you completely capsize also. And you say now everything that Allah made roza haram, now everything gone overboard now. Now from the next day, start again. We try and keep our six rozas also, but particularly our ma'amulats. Try and keep them in order. And in the ma'amulat, the things that we usually stress, try and maintain Islamic dressing. This is extremely important. If a person, due to certain external pressure, like workplace, they don't allow, and you can't change your work immediately. And Buzurganideen, ulama, always have given this advice that even if your earning is not halal, but don't just give it up immediately. Immediately look for an alternative. Start working for an alternative. Our iman is not at that level that if we don't get anything, and then we, Allahu Akbar. Just see the Buzurganideen. When I returned from overseas, my marhum father had a car which came in my share in my inheritance. And he had a third party insurance on it. That is, if there was an accident, the insurance will pay out the other party, they won't fix up your car. So I found my ustad, Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Sanjalvi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, asked him, should I carry on with this insurance or must I cancel it? So he asked me, for who are you asking this masala? For somebody else or for yourself? I said, for myself. He told me, you cancel it. Then he explained to me, if it was somebody else, like a person whose livelihood depends on his car, he's a traveler, he has to go to work, use his car every day, and his iman is weak. He's not a person who is in deen, he's a Muslim, but namaz is everything. And you tell him that cancel your insurance, and that person, he has to meet up with an accident, now he will lose his iman. And so that is how they looked at the person. They won't just give one masala to every person. It was his husna zan that he thought that perhaps my iman is made. So he told me that you don't, what call it, keep the insurance. But if it's somebody else, then let him carry on. Let him be involved in a minor sin to save him of that big sin of kufr. How dangerous that is. So we should always consider all these things in the right light. So if a person is working somewhere and is earning, is working in a bank, in an insurance company, which is not correct, then he must immediately, sincerely look for an alternative job. And then he tries and find it. And if it's a person who has got that iman, then he should give up the job immediately. Otherwise, he might now stay away from earning, but it can happen that he loses his iman also, his trust on Allah, which is even more dangerous. So anyway, so our dressing we must maintain. We don't understand, but this dressing has a great, great effect on a person. When we were in Jamaat in Raiwin, there was a priest from France who had accepted Islam. He's very interesting, lot of things about him. Abdul Majid, his name. One advice he gave us, always keep your Islamic dressing. He says, you don't understand, but we from the outside, when he was a non-Muslim, a Christian, he was a priest, he said this clothing is very impressive. But besides that, this clothing saves a person from many, many sins. And this clothing encourages a person to do a lot of right. If you got this clothing on, you walk past a masjid namaz time, it will be very, very difficult for you. But if you haven't got a beard, no topi, and for then to walk past a masjid when azan is also taking place, it won't be. But this clothes will force you to turn into the masjid. So to maintain our dressing is very important. And if at workplace they are not allowing it, and they also make a sincere effort. Some of us, we think they will dislike it. No, you dress. And then if they have an objection, that's a different thing. Then try and also sort it out. And what your character prove that this dressing is good for your company. That this dressing is healthy for your company. So if that is the case, as soon as we come home, come into our Islamic dressing. As soon, don't waste time. Many of us, where we falter, when we go for a holiday, then we wear our t-shirts and Bermudas, etc. And the result of that is we notice our own namaz becomes weak then. Our other things become weak. And if you are walking past in many holiday places, which are actually perhaps haram to go to, where there is so much of fitna there. And some people go in the days of fitna, to those places where there is fitna. Now, if you are dressed with kurta, topi, you will think about looking around. But if you are dressed the other way, your eyes will just start looking around everywhere. So dressing is very, very important. Then we encourage about tilawat of Quran Sharif daily, that we should read our Quran Sharif. Previously we should prescribe more, but we saw that it's almost nobody does it. So what we should non-half is read at least 4 or 5 pages a day, so that we can make at least one khatam during the course of the year. If we read just 3-4 pages, 5 pages a day, even every namaz just 1 page, which won't take a minute also, we can manage our 4-5 pages. And we'll make one khatam during the year. And we should think, if I don't even make one khatam, what am I worth for the whole year if I don't make one khatam? And ladies should read at least quarter supara. Because monthlies they have, they can't read. So they should read quarter supara every day, so that the one khatam can be made. And then a hafiz should try and read at least one supara. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali should prescribe 3 suparas. And that one supara also, a preferred way is that you look one time, look inside the Quran Sharif and read it. And depending how good your hifz is, you manage one supara. Then hamrawa that to somebody. Let somebody listen to you, take your door. And the best, in my opinion, is the wife. In that way, you will create an environment in the house. You will get her encouragement towards Quran also. And in many cases, the woman's Quran is not correct also. You had the opportunity of learning tajweed, etc. By listening to you always, her Quran will also improve. And in fact, tell her also. And then that same supara, try and read it in namaz again. In this way, you will benefit tremendously also. Your 3 suparas will get done also in that way. And if you can't, then do it half a supara, quarter supara. But try and do it in this way, depending on how strong the hibs is and what your occupation is. And then our zikr. This is very, very important. And all these ma'amulat, besides the dressing, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali should say, if for any reason at any time, due to engagement you are busy, or due to health, etc., traveling, you can't do everything, but don't give it up completely. Do a little bit also. So your Quran Sharif, if normally you are reading one supara, you can't, read half, read quarter. You are reading quarter every day, you can't, then 3-4 pages, read one page in your journey. But don't give it up. Read it. This will keep it going. This is very, very important. And then our zikr. 100 times La ilaha illallah. My suggestion is to do at least 50 collectively with the brothers in the masjid, etc. And do the other 50 on your own. Because the muraqabah for the two, do them differently. So when you are doing it correctly, do it with the ash'ar. And try and learn first the meaning of the ash'ar. And afterwards, try and learn the ash'ar. MashaAllah, I was very surprised. We were on safar, reunion, etc. And brothers who traveled with us, I was very surprised. They know the ash'ar properly, and they read it. And without the kitab, from memory, they had learned it, and they read it very nicely also. This will have a great, and the purpose and object of zikr will be realized. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, that one Naqshbandi, a murid, in Naqshbandi silsila, the zikr is soft, your own muraqabah to yourself. So he told our Shaykh, we are chishti silsila, where zikr is loud, and it is done more openly, more vociferous. So he told our Shaykh that you are lucky, your zikr is like that loud. So Hazrat asked him why. He said, our zikr is soft just to ourselves. He said, in most cases, I personally fall asleep. And I'm just looking down, and on looker thinks I'm by the heavens, making heavy muraqabah. And your zikr, you have to do it loudly, so you have to be awake. You can't be sleeping and making your loud zikr and singing, saying the ash'ar, etc. And the ash'ar are not for entertainment, is not to soothe us or to calm us. The meaning is important. And what meaning there is. And the meanings explain the purpose of the zikr. So we should try and read those ash'ar. And read them in the language. Urdu, there are few in Farsi, Persian also. To learn the meanings also. And keep those meanings in mind when we are repeating La ilaha illallah. And very important in the dhikr, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali should stress, always halka dhyando. Don't put your mind heavily into it. It will affect you. We cannot take it. Our minds are too weak. We don't eat the right food, as we had explained. Then many of us, we have so much of allowed relations with our wives also. It weakens a person. You need a lot of strength to do proper zikr. Mental strength also you need. If you are mentally weak, physically weak, your zikr, you won't get the proper enjoyment and the proper benefit of zikr. So retain your strength. Keep your strength. According to that, a person then should lightly think of those ash'ar, the meanings. And when you're doing your ash'ar, when you're doing La ilaha illallah 10 times, then don't put a lot of stress on muraqabah there. Otherwise you're going to stress yourself out too much. And this is also one reason why some brothers start with their zikr and they give it up very soon. Because they're putting too much pressure on themselves. And you can't take it. Faraz namaz, pressure is also heavy if a person makes his namaz. So Allah made it very light. And the stress is that the imam must not read long tirat also. On your own when you are reading, read as much as you want to. Because if the namaz is long, and some people even give the advice to get concentration, make long rakats. It's almost impossible. First with short rakats you have to get it. That's why faraz is also short so that you could concentrate properly. If it was very tawaf, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, Allah made his house. Anyone according to his capacity, he wants to build his dream house. What a house he builds. He doesn't need it at all. 13 bedrooms, 18 bedrooms, and what he's got in his house, big house. Allah, his house, how should big should Allah's house be? At least minimum from Makkah till Jeddah. And then we had to make 7 tawafs. So Allah kept his house small. And the tawaf also small. Easy Allah made it. The whole of Deen, if you go and study, Allah made it very easy. And especially the farais. The greatest faraiz is La ilaha illallah. And that also, and Muhammadur Rasulullah in this ummah, of course. That also Allah kept it so small. And the wazifa also Allah made it so small. So therefore your zikr also, don't try and make too much, then you'll find it too heavy, too hard, you won't carry on. And the other 50, then make the various muraqabas. There are a few muraqabas that are the main one that we mentioned when a person becomes bad, that this is the vacuum cleaner of La ilaha illallah. You have a vacuum cleaner, Electrolux and Dunlop and whatever, how many other names you have. And with the other vacuum cleaners, you clean your carpet, one time you vacuum, it's gone clean. This you are vacuuming your heart with the vacuum cleaner of La ilaha illallah. And 100 times, how can't your heart become purified? So the zikr then a person should make is with this muraqabah, that with La ilaha, look at your heart which is slightly on your left side. And move your body from your waist. This we have mentioned so many times, but we see very, very few brothers making their zikr correctly. And that is why we don't get the benefit. Don't move your head separately. The head must, your whole torso, from your waist, with the head must move slightly to the, slightly, not much, and not so slightly that it can be noticed also. Now, some do it again to the other extreme, they so little that you can't notice it also. So move it slightly to the right, and then bring it back to the left. With the right, La ilaha illa, La ilaha. That La ilaha. Take out all the negative things. And whichever particular sin is troubling you, anger, looking at other women, you take that out of your heart. Think, I'm taking this out. And otherwise, generally, all the sins. But whichever particular, I'm not regular with my namazes, 5 times namaz, my anger, my whatever else I've got bad habits, whichever particular one, take it out, and the opposite of it, anger, you want to take it out. Now put control of anger, calmness. Put that into your heart 100 times, and every day your islah will be made. If a person makes his zikr properly, and it is so little our zikr, according to our time, our mashayikh have given us very little zikr. 100 times is really nothing. Otherwise, still today, many mashayikh, Bara Tasbi, which is actually 1300 times zikr of the various, in the various forms. And it's not very long ago when it was 120,000. When Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, my one uncle became bayat to him, also lot of zikr he gave him. Zikr was plenty previously. This is very, but do it and do it properly. And definitely we'll get the same effect of all that zikr also. So do this zikr 100 times. Then there are other muraqabas, and this also, the contact which I will discuss just now, and our to report our condition, that we are now doing our zikr, we're doing with this muraqabah, now we would like to go, we feel I can go further ahead, then we'll show some more muraqabah. And then a person will see what the more different muraqabahs that we make, how a person will advance. But nobody keeps in touch, nobody writes what their condition is, whether they are maintaining it, whether they're feeling heavy. So a person is hardly moving forward. You took up a course and you had to do your assignments. You didn't even send one assignment in. Then how you, they won't allow you to sit for the exam also. So that is our condition. Then we feel we are not benefiting, we are not advancing. If a person keeps it, informs his condition, and he asks for more, then accordingly, there are a few, very few, who do that. And mashallah, they benefit also accordingly. So that is one muraqabah we will show now. Then do that 50 times with that muraqabah, 50 times with the ash'ar. So he completes our 100. Whether you do it all in the morning, or morning and evening, choose your time. But 100 times we should try and complete. And then 100 times, Allah. And La ilaha illallah, the first time, and every 10 times, add Muhammadur Rasulullah, wad durood sharif, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah, the first time, say Allah, and say any words of Allah's greatness, which is wajib. Jalla Jalaluhu Ta'ala Sha'anuhu, etc. And with this muraqabah, that, oh Allah, I love you, I need you, you also love me. Today, mashallah, one young friend came from a different country, and he explained that he wants the love of Allah, and tears were flowing from his heart. He wants to feel the love of the love of Allah is there, that he puts you in zikr, the love of Allah that he gives you tawfiq of namaz, etc. But to feel that actual love, that also Allah Ta'ala blesses. And in two places, one is in the heart you will feel it, the other is in sajda you will feel it. Particularly, otherwise in the whole of namaz, it's in tilawat, the joy that you will get. So this is that what Allah, Allah, that oh Allah, I love you, I need you, you love me, you come in my heart, oh Allah. This will happen. And then every 100 times, how won't Allah bless a person? Then the important thing is keep the contact. That we don't do also. And briefly, fix a time, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, every 6 weeks, every 8 weeks, but at your regular interval, then just send a little letter or make a little phone call that I'm managing. And also very important, whenever a murid meets his sheikh, this is generally in all murid-sheikh relationship, until you are not 100% sure the sheikh knows you, tell, I'm your murid, and my name is so-and-so, and I'm from so-and-so place. Otherwise, a person comes with great enthusiasm to meet, but the sheikh didn't recognize him also, and therefore he couldn't give him that attention. And if you are corresponding, and now you meet, that meeting will have a great effect if you were corresponding also all the time. So we should inform also, some brothers do, mashallah. They do keep contact also, and then they do inform of their conditions also. And it isn't only that you ask mashura, that I got this problem, I got that problem. And in the air also, some are just overwhelmed with dreams. As if the whole, some people, tasawwuf means only dreams. Dreams are not the important thing, it's a very side issue. Our islah is the major issue. We got our other problems, then we keep contact. The Shaykh's primary contact with the Shaykh is for one's islah. And if a person speaks about his illnesses, his condition, then he will get a benefit. And also never write long letters. As short as possible. And don't ask more than two or three things in one letter. And number it also. So the replying also can be by number. The whole condition doesn't have to be repeated by the Shaykh. Just with that number, he just gives you your reply. So that is. And also remember, getting a reply is also not important. Your letter reaching your Shaykh also is not important. You writing your letter, that is important. And then you made your means. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained that when he was in Karachi and his Shaykh Mana Abrarul Haqsab was in Hardoi, sometimes the relationship politically became very, very sour and bad. So much so, the post also shouldn't go direct. It should go via UK. But he says, whenever I had a matter, I wrote my letter, put it in the letterbox, posted it. The minute it's posted, my work is done. And remember, Murabbi Haqiqi is not your Shaykh, it's Allah Ta'ala. Shaykh is only there as a front. And the minute you did, and the real, it is 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration. The Shaykh's share in one's islah is 1%. 99% is your own fikr and your own concern. So you wrote your letter. You made a phone call, you didn't make contact with the Shaykh. Whatever, he's on and suffer, he's busy, he's not there. But you made your effort, your work you did. Allah is going to take over. And Allah will see to you. And our Shaykh says, I saw. Whatever I asked Maulana Abrarul Haqsab, as soon as my letter is posted, definitely it hasn't reached already. But already the solutions start coming. Because it's from Allah. And Allah's work is more faster than what any postal service or electronic service or anything. Allah's work is more faster. So keep our contact for our islah. There are some brothers, mashallah, who are sitting here. I showed them their remedy and they send an email every day. It was necessary for them. Every day the email comes. Regularly it comes. So those who are concerned, and for your islah, that you send your send it. And side issues, can even discuss with somebody else. But we made all our marriage problems, business problems, whatever other problems, that's the only thing we discuss with the Shaykh. Our islah we don't even discuss. Whereas islah is important. That is what we must be discussing. So if we keep that, then inshallah, what we have got in this Ramadan is going to grow. It won't be maintained only, it will grow. And it's not difficult. Today, according to our condition, our mashayikh made it very, very easy. For those brothers who got ijazat, who got khilafat, khilafat is no guarantee of jannah. It is nothing to be framed up and put on the wall. Nothing to feel proud in one's heart, I got ijazat. Ijazat is only that now you got a responsibility and a duty that you must carry on with this. That is what ijazat is. That now, if somebody comes to you to become bayat, well and good, make him bayat. And start a majlis. That is important. The majlis that a person must start, the primary niyat is on islah. And a person who is sincere about his islah will make majlis. Because when you're telling others, then you automatically you're going to feel ashamed. I'm telling everyone, I'm not doing it myself. This is the greatest way that one's islah takes place. And when a person speaks, his own ears are the most closest to him. He's addressing himself first. So in his majlis, don't make Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali says, whatever I have to speak, I choose a subject in which I see my own weakness. I speak on that. And so that it comes into me. And you are lecturing yourself. Others are benefiting extra, by the way. Bhai Abdul Wahab Sahib of Raiwin used to say, if you only speak of those things which are in you, which you think and feel, it is in you, pride will come in you. When you speak of those things which are not in you, humbleness will come in you. That I'm telling the others, I'm so terrible, you'll feel bad about yourself. And what you are doing, you are telling others, then, I'm perfect, I'm good. That's why I can tell others. So say it with a niyat for your own self. So majlis is very important. For that practical, many brothers ask, choose a day, a venue, a place where you're going to have your majlis, and then announce it, either by putting posters up if it's possible, otherwise by word of mouth, inform your friends, your neighbors, make an announcement in a masjid if it's possible, and on that specific time, then start with your majlis. And the majlis which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to suggest, first with one, ash'ar, if there's somebody who can render it nicely, all the better. Otherwise just the translation. Otherwise just one couplet, not the whole poem complete. Just one couplet, explain that. And then do one sunnat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then read from any of the kitabs, preferably Hazrat's kitabs. They are in Urdu, they are in English as well. Otherwise, any of my kitabs also, read from there for a while. 2-3 kitabs, so it doesn't become boring also. And this is also very important, that whenever we do, we read the kitab. Whether it is, like here we have kitab reading, or the Jamaat brothers have kitab reading, or in the majlis you're going to have, what is very important, that a person must speak very clearly. Not slowly also, don't drag your words also, and not so fast also. You speak where you're going to drag your words, people are going to become bored. You're going to speak fast, nobody's going to understand. And the tone, the pitch of it, how loud, how soft, measure the volume of the people. According to that, the imam also, if there's only 5 people behind him, and he's screaming, or there are 5 subs, and he's just like whispering, just above what is soft, which is jais. No, according to your, look at the crowd, and according to that. And very good, we had readers here as far as that is concerned, was Mufti Muhammad Desai, and Maulana Ridwan Kaji, mashallah, very, very clearly, and the translation also properly. And also, not just a matter of reading. This is also a big problem, especially in the ladies' ta'aleem. Like some ladies, many of them, they say, they gather in one corner, they just mumble to themselves, and then finish, the gathering is over. Well, Dr. Apa, who used to come to South Africa quite often, mashallah, what a great worker, Allah fill her qabr with noor. She used to stress a lot, do the kitab reading like you are talking to the people. And eye contact is very important, don't just keep your eyes down. Look at the people and make eye contact with the people. That is very, very important. So in our majlis also, don't just look down. Any kitab you are reading, you are doing tafsir, etc., make eye contact. Lot of your message goes through with the eye contact. The speaker must also see the people must see him also. On there you pick up whether they are understanding or not. Whether you make a joke and nobody laughed. You understand? Nobody is understanding here. Or you said something which is something that should draw a response. Subhanallah. No response came. So you make up, they are not interested or they are not understanding. So according to that, so this eye contact is very, very important that we should have. And we should clearly, and also very good, like mashallah, Maulana Musa Kaji, when he reads his kitab, that which kitab are we reading? What subject? And briefly, yesterday we read this, refresh the people's mind. We know generally our interest in deen is not like what it is in dunya. A student going to school, etc., how he does his homework and his studies and he pays attention, everything. Yeah, we come, we just sit blank. Just for sawab, barakat we come. Whereas it's a whole learning process. And for a learning process, the mind must be a learning mind. But we are out of that. Those who are students still have got little, but to those who are not students, we know more in a learning process. So we just come and sit for barakat. Now to get the attention of those people, Mashaykh, Maulana Shah, Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Thanwi, their first effort was to get the concentration of the love of the people. If the minds are outside, they're floating around in the world, and they haven't got love for you, no respect, the benefit is minimal. But if you have won their love, and you have won their attention, now with little effort you will get a lot. And this kitab also is not just to read that particular amount or to finish the kitab. It is to give the message. And so read also in such a way that you are giving the message to the person. And see also, is he taking that message or not? So do some kitab reading. At the end make little dhikr and make dua. And if you can, do it in the masjid. If you can't, do it in your house. And after a few sessions, try and have ladies with proper parda facilities one side, so they also could listen. This is, there is great, great benefit in there also. So with proper parda facilities, have that also for them. And then, if you can't do that, just in your family. And if you can't do that, by yourself. And we will request every person who has got ijazat on a monthly basis to send a report of his majlis is doing. And what I am doing, that after about a year, seeing the reports, those who are not active at all, take their name out of the list. Because it's not just for barakat khilafat. It's not just for name and for so many khalifas or anything. The work is important. So if a person can't do it himself also, then what khilafat is that also? Right? So it's not difficult. We're not saying make it in a big jami masjid of the town and get 2,000 people to come and attend. No, just on your own. If your family, your own family also don't want to attend, then do it on your own. But make and give a brief report. We are making this majlis so and so time, date, so many people attended or whatever, and there is benefit, or we are having this problem. But a small report every khalifa must give. He can phone and give. He can send it by email, fax, whatever, and give the report. And then we will see how we can adjust this, and we can, how we can maximize the benefits and the purpose of this. So in that way, we should try and carry on. And if a khalifa will do this, what he has been, and those who haven't got ijazat but want to make majlis, there are many people who have that urge, take, ask permission, we want to make majlis, but we haven't got permission. Those who got ijazat are commanded to make majlis. And those who haven't got ijazat and they want to make, they should ask permission. And then we will consider, inshallah. But every person must make majlis. It is very important. And if there are few khalifas in a town, also no problem. Make it on different areas, in homes. Make it on different days. You don't have to clash with one another. Where you can attend one another's majlis also. If you cannot attend for any reason, then make your majlis on a certain day. Make a mashura. We are 2-3 khalifas in our town, and how are we going to set up our program? Which masjid, which area are we going to work on? So to try and do this. This is very, very important. Gee, then some brothers had asked, mashallah, quite a few brothers, how to get rid of the TV. So the first, how did it come in the house? Find out the main cause for that. TV comes in the house when there is no entertainment for anyone, and they are free. So when we stopped, this is Allah's punishment upon us. When there was no more tilawat, when otherwise it was common, a Muslim home, when you went past it after Fajr, after Maghrib, but you'll get the sound of Quran Sharif tilawat coming. You'll get the children are learning their sabaks, not homework. You could hear it. You would see that this was happening. This went out of our homes. Tilawat, we took it out. And zikr and etc., we took it out. Our wazaif, we not reading wazaif, etc. We took these things out. So Allah, by way of punishment, put the worst punishment, put the TV in. And worse it is getting. And so the solution of it, start with tilawat in the house again. And tilawat, don't scream, but make it loudly. It has a wonderful effect. Also, whatever problems we got, whether it is financial, health, domestic, arguments, fights, the reason of it is Allah's rahmat is not there. So shaitan is ruling there. So all these problems come. This is generally the condition, not 100%. So these conditions come. Now to get the solution to that, pull Allah's rahmat. And Allah's rahmat will come with namazes in the house. The man also, jamaat namaz is in the masjid. But sometimes your sunnats make them at home. Make some nafils at home. The woman make the namazes at home. But the man also sometimes make some sunnats, some nafils at home. And make tilawat at home. Make zikrullah at home. This will pull Allah's rahmat. On a Friday night, Thursday night, Yomul Khamis, the night in between Thursday and Friday, read Durood Sharif in the home. The 40 Duroods, how we were reading here, carry it on once a week at home. And share it out. Now, I remember when we started, then actually we should like argue and fight with one. Everyone wants to read it. That the eagerness, that keenness. So start it. You are 5-6 people. Let everyone read 8-8 durudz, whatever. Share it out and bring the interest of everyone. So with all these a'mal, then Allah's rahmat will come. Then slowly you will see, and don't try and get rid of the TV overnight. And don't, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, learn how to make nahya anil munkar. For example, from this example, we'll understand the principle for all situations. Your wife went and she bought some toys for the children that got music in it, or that got some murat pictures in it. Now, when you saw it, you went off on a tangent. And you became mad and you started shouting and screaming. That is wrong. Hazrat says, what you do, you go and buy another toy. More expensive, more better, and which is within the limits of Sharia. Now put that toy in front and then take this toy away. Now when you just took away that toy, the child also enjoys it, the environment is such, and you left nothing in return. He's going to become your enemy. He's not going to listen to you in one thing. But bring the better thing, give it to him, now quietly take away, he won't even miss it. They're exactly the same, like a dog is eating a bone, don't take the bone. It's only got a bone, it will bite your hand. Bring a piece of meat and put it, and now take the bone away, it won't even notice you took the bone away. So this principle, keep this in mind. Your wife, she bought a dress which you don't like, some dressing which is not according to Sharia. Go and buy something better. And then give it, and then take that quietly away. Or now tell her, now don't wear that, give it, and wear this year, whatever it is. So the TV also, that is the way. First bring deen into the house. And encourage them about the matters of deen. Today our interest is in TV, all the soaps and all the other stories, the serials that carry on. We are more interested in that. We are not interested in kitab reading, we are not interested in Quran. Slowly bring this in. And when this will come, that will go. When the light will come, the darkness will go. Now you don't want to bring light and you want to take away the darkness. Now what's going to be there? There's no light also and no darkness. What will be there? Who, if anyone can answer that question, answer it, no light also and no darkness also. So first put the light, the darkness will go away itself, inshallah. And then a few brothers have this little problem also, which shouldn't be a problem, but it does take place, that what's the relationship between Tabligh and Khanqah? They are brothers of one another. They are one family, it is all. Just like Maulana Abrarul Hadsab Rahmatullah Ali said, who said that if you need eyes, you don't need a tongue? You need both of them. Who said you need ears, you don't need a nose? Who said you need brains, you don't need a heart? You need legs, you don't need your hands. We need everything. So this is all one family. And everyone on its place. And like if we got hands, legs, our whole body. But there is no ruh, you're a dead person. Every part of your body has to be going, it must be buried. If there is ruh, then every part works. The tongue will speak to the doctor that I got a pain here. And the hand will show where is the pain. And to drive to the doctor, your hands will work, your legs will work, your brains will work. Every part of your body will work for that one pain you got. So like that, the whole ummah is one ummah. And every effort is for the betterment of the ummah, and for the whole ummah, and for every individual of the ummah. And that this ummah bana, that we are all one, all efforts are one. Everything is one. The ruh that is inside is muhabbat for one another. All must have muhabbat. Love the tabligh brothers. Tabligh brothers must love you. Love the ulama. Love the darul ulums. Love the makatib. All what is of deen, everyone must have love. That is the ruh of this body. If that ruh goes out, then everyone wants to do his own thing. And then you just become a janaza. And that is why the enemy is treating us today. We are like janazas, and how they are treating us, what they are doing. So we are all related. It is one effort, different things that are required. You want to build a house, and there is a carpenter who is going to work. There is going to be a bricklayer. The architect will come in. The engineer will come in. Electrician will come. The plumber will come. And if anyone say, my work is important, you all get out of my way. The house will never get built. But you accommodate one another. while you working here, we'll work here. You give me a little way. Sometimes you'll even help you with your one tools to one another. Use this, use this. And you even personally will help hold the tape for the architect to measure, etc. All work together, a beautiful house will get built. So we are all one. From our side, never have it that, and never ever discuss the subject which is more important, what is more superior. That's a very dangerous subject. We haven't got that ilm, we haven't got that sincerity, we haven't got that taqwa to walk on that path to discuss which is more important. Like, never discuss is Makkah Sharif more important or Medina Sharif. Never discuss Quran more important or Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam zati girami, which is more important. These are everything is for us. Eh? So like you have got, there is roast also, there is biryani also. Now what to choose, you don't have to discuss. What your heart likes, you take what you like. Whichever you like, and you haven't got a diet of anything. If you have got, you are diabetic, don't touch the rice. Take the vegetable curries, take the other curry, take the roast, etc. But don't go and discuss that which is more important, which is more beneficial. That is very dangerous. Every aspect of deen is extremely important. I'll just give this one qissa. Once we were in the office here, and Maulana Khalil Ahmad, who was principal of Darul Ulum Azhariya in Deoband, and he was in Medina Sharif, I don't know if he's still living, very pious person, Khalifa of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. He was visiting us, and there somebody, the same discussion started, which is an unnecessary discussion. And don't waste your time in these discussions. The important thing is to do the work, not to discuss all this. So this discussion, so he says, since this discussion started, let me make my little contribution. And he gave a beautiful example. He said there was a king with three sons, and all three sons came of marriageable age. And all three wanted to marry the neighbor's, the neighbor king's daughter, the princess. So, or they came to the father, they want to marry. So he said, if I take three proposals, there won't be anybody as more stupid than me. And if I take of the three of you, if I take one of his proposal, the other two will become my enemies. We know what happened about Habil and Qabil. When you don't get that wife you want looking for, you become an enemy of your father and mother also. So if I take the, and he, she marries this one, the other two will, so each one of you go yourself and go and marry, go and propose. They went, that king said, from before I've decided that I'm giving my daughter to that person who has got some great quality in him. Whoever has got some great quality, I'll give my daughter in marriage to him. For that, I give you 2 years' time. Go and try and achieve some, make, have some achievement. And money, as much as you want, from me take it. King said, lot of money in those days, you take as much money, but you go. Anyway, after the 2 years they came back, he asked the first person, what did you acquire? So he said, the quality of kashf. Kashf means that Allah shows you a thing which other people can't see, presently, in the past or future. And that's all by Allah, not that you have got it. Allah shows it to you. And he says, I look in the palm of my hand and I can show you tell you the condition of any person anywhere. Oh, there is a great quality. So you should marry the daughter, but it's only fair. We'll hear out the others also. Ask the second one. He said, I've acquired the quality of Tayyul Ard. Tayyul Ard is also a karamat that Allah gives a person, that in a wink of an eye, he transfers you from here to Makkah Sharif. Next you are gone to Tokyo, next you are gone to Nizamuddin, next you are gone to Delhi. Everywhere he just moves you around. That is also, it is وَكَرَامَاتُ الْأَوْلِيَا حَقٌ. It is true. The third person, he said, I have developed such a medicine that no matter what sickness a person has got, how sick he is, about to die now, you just give him this medicine, he gets better. He says, that's also very great. So he told the first person, you should give us, you tell us that what is the condition of the girl. So he looked in his palm and he said, very, very sick, about to die. Now she's going to die. He told the second person, transport us. So he transported all them. He told the third person, give the medicine. He gave the medicine. She got better. Now none of the three can say, I saved the girl. If the first person knew exactly how she is, but he couldn't get there in time. and he didn't have the medicine, he wouldn't save the car. The second person who didn't know the condition, where is he going to go and take people around? Where is the patient and where is he taking the doctor to? If he knows who is the patient, then you'll go there. And if you got the medicine, you will give it. And if you are sitting with the medicine, but you don't know who's sick, and you don't know how to get there, your medicine will go all bad by you. Nothing. So the three together, they saved. And not one of them can say, I saved the girl. Then he explained, the ulama do the work of kashf from Quran and Hadith, more stronger and more valid than what kashf is. 100% sahih wahi of Quran and Hadith, what the ummah was supposed to be doing, where, at which level they were supposed to be and which level they are, what's going to happen in the qabr. And there's the duty of the ulama to inform the people the condition of the qabr, condition of the day of qiyamah, what is going to happen. So the ulama, that is their work. Jamaat brothers, they go from person to person, whether it is in the concrete jungles of Europe and America, or whether it is in the jungles of Africa and Asia, right far in a field, they'll go and meet a person also. And they'll tell the brother, speak to our brother, very nice brother. So they will do that work, tayyul ard. And the khanqa gives the medicine. So if all three work together, the ummah will get saved. And if anyone feels that, no, we don't need the others, we are chopping our own feet. We will destroy ourselves. So the whole ummah must work together, make dua. Don't wait for duas of other people. You make dua for Tabligh Jamaat. Make dua for the Darul Ulooms. Make dua for the people who are doing social welfare work. Whoever, the mutawallis of the masjid make dua, they looking after the masjid. One mutawalli, the Jamaat made his tashkil recently, when he said, my whole life I'm in Jamaat. He said, if I don't look after the masjid, where are you going to come stay? You won't get water, you won't get lights, there won't be imam in the masjid, there won't be musallas in the masjid. So everyone, the mutawallis, are doing their work. Every person in his field is doing. And one time, Maulana Muhammad Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi sent a Jamaat for collection with one Maulana. They went, they came back Maghrib, they say, Maulana, whole life let us do kash, we got no problem. But this collection work, that we don't send as well. He said, it's not our work, I'll never send you also. But I send you so you can appreciate this Maulanas who go door to door collection. And what insults they have to bear. What rude things people tell them, but they carry on. They build the masjid, they make the toilets, and now they make a Jamaat, room for the Jamaat. They do all, I want you to appreciate that. You just go to a masjid, you get a ready-made masjid. You are 5-star hotel masjids today. And people are bringing food for you. And everything ready found. But you don't know who is working behind. How this masjid came. You don't even make dua for the... Forget putting 20 rand for water lights that you use in that masjid. You don't even make dua for the mutawallis, for the people who are running the masjid. This is also a great, great... People who are running maktabs where and where. What a great service they are doing. And without maktabs, Maulana Saad now is stressing so much on the maktabs. Hey, why? Because how many places the ready plate of deen was made. And the Salafis just came and took away the whole. Because the people didn't have maktab, basic deeni education. And they were just now overtaken with this. How many places? And they were just taken away. So therefore, the maktab work is carrying on in the world. What a great work. So all is necessary. And without the tabligh work, then how can, where and where, who will go to those places? Alhamdulillah, through our travels, we go to such places we see. If it was not for tabligh work, you wouldn't find one person with a beard, one person with a topi. And who is hosting you and who is supporting you? The tabligh brothers. In those places, it's a desert. There is nothing and nobody there. The tabligh brothers support you. So we all have to work together. And the more we get the spirit into us that we have to work with one another and work together, then inshallah we will see great, great benefit. So if we take this, وَسَلِّمْهُ لَنَا مُتَقَبَّلًا, whatever we have acquired, oh Allah, keep it salamat for us for the future. Let us carry it forward to the future. Let us not write it down as a bad debt. But let us carry it forward to Shawwal, to the next month. And then to every month, and then to next Ramzan. Whatever we have acquired, double it up, triple it up. And next Ramzan, put it 10 times higher, 100 times higher. And this way we carry on. May Allah give us tawfiq. And let us, inshallah, we have benefited. keep the benefit. Look after it now and grow it more. Good is that son. The father gave him one shop, he made 10 shops out of it. And a shop brother who got one shop and he lost that one shop also. So what Allah has given us, grow it. This is the real, not that shops. That is just an example. That is nothing. This is what we have to grow. May Allah give us tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا